Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:35. Special guest is Jared Hudson. He's a Republican candidate for the United States Senate in Mobile. He's going to be in Fairhope here in a little bit. And you want to drop in and say hello, and we're glad to have you, Theo.
Yeah. So looking forward to this interview and glad you're in, Jared. How are things going? I guess that's the best way to start this interview. You've been campaigning your butt off.
Man, they're going great. And first off, thank y'all for having me. Great seeing y'all. Appreciate y'all having me down here. But, man, God has blessed us tremendously. They're going great. We're going all over the state of Alabama. Been to all 67 counties and a lot of them multiple times. And we're still making that run, you know. So we're going all over the place and spreading our word. Now that pollen's coming out, It seems like every time I talk, you know, it starts welling up in my throat. But all that being said, man, it's going great. We can't complain.
Numbers are good. The numbers are really, really encouraging, man, in terms of your poll numbers.
Yeah, man, and to not have spent any money, right? We're holding all of our shots till the time is appropriate, right? When everybody's really starting to look at, you know, hey, what's going to happen in this race? Who do we need to be voting for? And right now, just regular, everyday Alabamians ain't looking at it. We see the stuff going on in Iran. We see the stuff primarily that impacts us here with affordability, diesel fuel being $6 a gallon, can't afford groceries. So with all of those things going on, people are not into the political every single day, except for when they go home in the evening and they turn on the news, or maybe they're listening to y'all as they drive into work, and that's about it. Then they get to dealing with the rest of their day. But here in a couple weeks, everybody will be looking at it.
Hey, first things first, you're a former Navy SEAL. You knew my son, Zach.
Yes, sir. We worked together. We served together.
And thanks for sharing those stories with me. We had a chance to catch up over breakfast a couple of weeks back, but that was awesome for me. You're looking at the situation in Iran. You served in Afghanistan and those areas. Yep. You're familiar with the terrain pretty much. I mean, give us your shot, best shot. What happens here?
Front end, successful rescue mission. That's great, especially for somebody asked me the other day on a news show, like, hey, how important was this rescue mission? I said, for the guy, for the gunner that was rescued, the weapons specialist, the colonel that was rescued, and his family, it's of the utmost importance,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
But you had a bunch of pipe-hitting Navy SEALs, SF operators. You had TF Red on standby. And I was talking to some buddies that were on the ground as part of that operation when they got back. You had a bunch of dudes willing to punch a one-way ticket. Mm-hmm. They were willing to go and die.
Yep.
They were willing to sacrifice their lives and not come back to their wives and their kids so that they could get an American out of a bad situation.
Amazing.
You had the agency running deception operations, which actually worked and made a very tight window, so they spun up, and these guys made it happen. And that's the most amazing thing we can see. Whether you're for President Trump or whether you're against President Trump and his decision to end the Iranian conflict, which has been going on for 50 years, this is not new. This is not a new war. This is not Israel. War. This is a 50-year process, as long as I've been alive. I'm 40 years old, so longer than I've been alive. This is a 50-year process that it looks like we're trying to bring the end to. Whatever you look at with it, I'm not pro-war. As a guy who's been to war and understands the cost of, you know, great men and women who served and gave their lives, I understand the cost of war because it's spilling blood and giving your own blood. Stand for the warfighter, though, not the war. And I stand for the warfighter. And these warfighters went in and made sure they got the scouts. Now, what's going on? The administration just came out. Trump, I just made a post and said, hey, you've got eight hours? Or you got till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Whatever it is, he has given an extension to the amount of time before we blow you to oblivion. I'm going to go ahead and say we all know the president makes a deal. We tries to make, you know, deals with everybody, and if anybody can make a deal, it's this guy. I don't think he's bluffing on this one. Mm-hmm. We've got European nations, we've got our so-called allies in Europe who are saying, hey, you're not going to use Diego Garcia, even though they launched an ICBM over toward, you know, was able to make it to Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
We have Arab state partners who are not pulling their weight. The Saudis buckled up shop, buddy. They say, hey, rally point right here. We're not producing any more oil until 5 months after this is over. We have seen the rest of the world, who we fund a lot of our tax dollars go to, turn their back on us in this moment.
We have.
When we have a Persian people who've been run roughshod over by an Ayatollah who's been fighting the United States of America, calling us the big Satan since 1979, that should tell you something about our allies. I don't think this is a bluff from the president. I think this is a, hey, we have tried to flex our strength and create peace through it, But sometimes peace through strength means you're going to have to go up and hit them in the mouth. And I don't think they'll put boots on the ground. They will bomb these folks into oblivion. Hmm. And so I would say heed the president's words and warning, because that's where we're at. And that is what... That is the power of the United States of America, and that is a very scary thing for the people that are on the ground in that area.
We're talking with Jared Hudson, U.S. Senate candidate, and I do want to get to some issues on the home front, but I want to ask you first, while we're talking war, personal question of mine. My brother flies A-10s, and yeah. I think I could tie this into your role as a senator as well.
They just had a Warthog shot down, you know, just recently, which is crazy, but yeah, A-10s are awesome. Yeah.
And you know, their work in the Middle East, legendary, and saving so many from ambushes and things of that nature, and they've been used so much here in these, I guess you could call it early stages of this war. Hopefully it's not early stages, but there's been a lot of talk about the A-10 going away for a long time, and it seems like every time they almost put it away for good, it becomes very useful in the theater of war. And so many of similar situations over the years have played out where you'll have congressmen or women or senators who are fighting hard to keep something in their, you know, districts because it makes them money, but might not necessarily be useful in the grand scheme of things. Or you have things like the A-10, which it seems folks want to put away for good, even though its usefulness continues to be seen day in and day out.
I think its usefulness is as big as it's surprisingly big in this war right now.
So as a senator, how do you kind of balance the needs of your districts compared to the overall needs of the United States or the U.S. military?
Yeah, well, one is, as a U.S. senator for Alabama, it's to make sure that we deliver for Alabama, but also making sure that Alabama's delivering for the U.S. military. Now, for us right here in Alabama, just wrapping it all up, we have a national security nexus. If you look at it from Redstone Arsenal all the way down here to Mobile, close to where we're at, the largest port in North America, or the fastest growing port in North America, the largest port in the Gulf of America, this is a naval town, right? This looks like San Diego 1980 or maybe 1975. Like, this is a naval town. Bring it back to Alabama so that we can continue to be the arsenal of the United States of America is unbelievably important. So that would be the first thing. Making sure that we continue to provide for this great nation that is maintaining democracy and freedom for the rest of the world. We're Democratic Republican. People are knocking down our doors to get here. Everybody looks at the beacon of the United States of America. Making sure that Alabama's the beacon of the greatest nation in the world is unbelievably important. So as a senator, that's how I deliver, not just for the state of Alabama, but also for the United States, because we have a massive national security nexus here. On the other side of it, we have to be prepared in that way, and this is the peace through strength mindset. This isn't military-industrial complex to the sense that everybody wants to talk about, like, oh, they're taking over. No, that's not what it is. This is being prepared for enemies like Iran, but more importantly, enemies like China, who use countries like Iran as a proxy, for enemies like Russia, who use countries like Iran as a proxy, making sure that we're prepared to fight big regimes, big conventional warfare, and have all of the equipment and the training and everything that's needed. So going back to the A-10, yeah, the A-10 is unreal. We used them in Afghanistan. We would call them in. They would do close air support for us. Mm-hmm. And that 30-millimeter minigun, if we were ever getting rained down on from a mountain, you want to talk about something that would blow the side off a mountain. That thing would come in, and when that gun kicked off, it looked like the plane was hovering as it would go around and shoot up the tops of the mountains. I think I got a video of it on my phone.
Wow.
But those things are absolutely unreal and important for not just ground troops, but destroying and hitting ground targets. It's kind of like you're talking about, hey, people want it to go away. We've got a lot of nimble aircraft, and we've got a lot of fighter jets and stuff like that. But the A-10 Warthog, it is kind of like the 45 of calibers, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get people want to talk trash on it. They want to go to this thing, but you still have folks always going back to the 45 caliber, which was, you know, I mean, how long has it been around, right? The 45 ACP has been around since World War I, right? They used it to stop, they said, hey, we can stop a charging horse with it. That's why the Browning automatic pistol was made.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And back to your race specifically, Dan talked about how the polls have really tightened up here over these last few weeks. And you're competing against, well, at least a couple guys whose names have been in the political circles for a while now, and Barry Moore and Steve Marshall. How are you going about differentiating yourself, although it's not too difficult, I imagine, to show how you're different?
Well, I mean, one, I'm not a career politician, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing that resonates across the state of Alabama. we've had guys that have been in Congress and been in politics for some of these guys my whole life. I'm 40, right? I'm not in my 60s now. We've got some up there in their 70s. I'm 40. So my whole life, these guys have been in career politics, or the majority of my life, they've been in politics. So they're career politicians, and everybody's sick of it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, it's time for my generation, right? And this isn't a hit on them or the other generation. It's time for my generation to step in and say, hey, we've got it from here, and take the mantle and make sure that our kids have something and our grandkids have something for the future. The wise man plants trees knowing he'll never sit in the shade, and that's what my wife and I are doing. We're planting trees hoping that one day our kids get to sit in the shade and partake in this great state and this great nation that we got to partake in, and hopefully have even greater opportunities. It's incumbent on us in the generation that I'm a part of, right, as a 40-year-old man that fought in GWAT, that runs a business now, that became a law enforcement officer, still a law enforcement officer here in Alabama, all of the things that I do, it's incumbent on our generation to take the next step to make sure that we can continue as the greatest nation on the face of the planet and ultimately elevate Alabama to be the greatest state and the greatest nation.
I know also, as far as serving, this seems rare to me. You signed, an agreement to be for an amendment, but in terms of term limits for those that are in office.
Yeah, so what I want to do is champion a bill that standardizes federally term limits, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason to limit yourself on terms. Let's say this is me and Katie up there, right?
Off mic just a little bit if you want to pull that mic.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
No, that's perfect. Let's say
me and Senator Britta are up there, and we go up there for two terms and we leave. Well, then you're going to have a California senator that still, because of seniority, they're able to bring back for California or bring back for, you know, Minnesota, where we see the Learing Center is being built up. Your tax dollars going to stupid fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Making sure that we maintain senators to deliver for our state's important, but also making sure that we start to attack the system that has created the ability to buy access outside PAC dollars, right? All of these interstate PACs, they need to go away. Why? Because they buy access. They're able to buy a spot, buy a position within the government. And once they do that, do you think the voter has access to that legislator anymore? Absolutely not. No. It's the same thing with term limits, right? They'll be less apt to buy access if you can implement term limits. The way I would go about doing it, I think two terms for senator, that's 12 years. Six terms for a House member, that's 12 years. So I think that looks fair. And I believe the way you do that is you grandfather some of the older generation that's up there that would never vote themselves out. You grandfather them in, and I think that's more palatable, so you can get it across the line and set term limits in place so we don't see this nasty mess. They call it the swamp, whatever it is, right? We don't see this nasty mess that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, some of them, you would literally grandfather or great-grandfather them in with some of their families at this point.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Lindsey Graham one time. You didn't have a kind words to say about him, even though he's a fellow Republican.
Well, I mean, this is what you have to think about with Lindsey Graham, right? And I don't know the man personally, but when we're in the middle of what we're in, and this dude is literally salivating for war. This guy ain't been in a fist fight, much less a gunfight, right? This dude is salivating to go to war with Iran. I question his motives and I question his morals, because as soon as we have aircraft being shot down, as soon as we have service members dying, as soon as we have a government shutdown where we still have the partial shutdown with DHS, where Coast Guard members are deployed in this conflict not getting paid, this joker's at Disney with his family.
Yeah.
This is the biggest problem with all of these career politicians that are up there. They don't know the cost to the regular, everyday American, or in our case, Alabama family, that can't afford to go buy groceries. And they don't know the cost to those who are willing to spill their blood, not for a partisan issue, but for this great nation and this great state, and make sure that we maintain freedom. Every deployment I went on, we lost friends. Every deployment I went on, buddies of mine from the SEAL teams died. And even after I left the SEAL teams, every deployment that guys would come back, somebody was dying on deployment. Didn't matter if it was Iraq, Afghanistan, Northern Iraq, Syria. Didn't matter where it was. Guys were giving their life, not for a partisan cause, but for this nation. These politicians don't understand it.
I know you've got a busy schedule, so we won't keep you much longer. Want to get you in again because we have all kinds of questions. But what kind of message do you want to leave our listeners with this morning? And also how they can find out more about the campaign and get in touch with you.
Yeah, so first and foremost, the thing you need to know about Jared Hudson is that I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing about me because it's the only thing that's eternal. Secondly, I'm a seventh-generation Alabama family man. I've got a beautiful wife and three beautiful little girls we're raising right here in the great state of Alabama. And I want to make sure that they have the ability to have the same opportunities and hopefully even greater than me and my wife have. Number three, United States Navy SEAL, currently a law enforcement officer, and I run a nonprofit called Covenant Rescue Group that combats human trafficking. That's what defines Jared Hudson. If you want to look up policy positions, if you want to look up who I am and what I'm about, I'm big on making sure life is affordable for us here in Alabama, and I'm big on making sure that we support and back our war fighters and don't just back a war that puts money in the pockets of politicians. You can check us out at HudsonForAlabama.com. Like, share, and follow on all the social medias.
Hey, thanks for the nice gift you brought me, by the way. Appreciate it.
Hey, brother. That. Yeah, and thank you for you raised a great man. You know, I know Zach's no longer with us, and some of the people might know the story and some of them might not, but y'all can look up Ill Mill, look up Zach Miller. He was a great man, served with him in the SEAL teams, did multiple deployments with him, and thank you for what you did raising a son who turned out to be not just a great SEAL, but also a great man.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. We'll talk again and real soon.
Yes, sir.
Jared Hudson running for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and thank you as well for your service,
Jared. Thanks for having me.
And good luck the rest of the campaign. Again, hopefully we'll get you in before that primary, which just a month and 12 days away. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. That's next.